On this Remembrance Day, we remember the fallen, and we remember the sacrifice of millions of others who were asked to fight and, if necessary, die for their country. There is a bond that stretches back through time among the men and women who have accepted that responsibility, as you're about to hear. We asked a young man and a recent veteran if he wouldn't mind meeting and interviewing for you listening today one of Montreal's remaining World War II veterans. Yves Leduc Butterworth is 31. He's a veteran of the Afghanistan War, and he lives in Verdun. He accepted. And Ockel Stewart is 95 years old. He's a World War II veteran and lives in St. Lambert on the South Shore. And as you'll hear, he embraced the idea as well. And as for the stranger we brought over to his house, well, just because they'd never met, he wasn't really a stranger. Not at all.
So, hello.
Hello.
I'm Sergeant Leduc Butterworth. I'm with the Canadian Grenadier Guards in Montreal.
Oh.
I am, yeah.
Oh.
So I'm still a currently serving soldier.
With the Canadian Grenadier Guards?
I am indeed.
The talk of Alexander and some of Hercules, of Hector and Lysander, and all great
such
kings
a great names as these.
But of all the world great heroes, there are none that can compare.
With a tall
row, row, row for the British Grenadier.
Exactly.
I've been a member of the Guards Club.
Oh, really?
For some time.
That's good. I didn't know that.
Don't ask me why. One of those other things.
Yeah, another one of those endeavors of yours. I'm going to be asking about your experiences in the war itself, and then specifically what it was like back, because I have my own experiences, and I'm very curious to know how that contrasts with yours. So I was wondering what you were doing before the war.
Well, before the war, my father sent me off to Chicoutimi to learn French. He said, if you're going to be in business in Quebec, you're going to have to speak French. And so I was sent up to the hinterland in Chicoutimi. Some months later, we heard that the war had been declared, and so I came back to put on a uniform, and my father's immediate reaction was, how's your French? How's your French? And I came back with a few of those naughty French words. and Dad was utterly shocked, because Dad never said anything worse than damn in his life. Yeah. However, I announced to my father that I thought it was the first year of the war, and I just reached the age of 19, the age at which you had to be in order to go to war with the Canadian Army. I think the Navy would take people a little younger, but we were Army. Mm-hmm. And so Dad said, fine, my friend Hammy Lane is raising a battery in Montreal, go into the artillery. And off I went. I didn't know the difference between an airplane and a submarine, but he marched me off to Place Vichy Barracks in Montreal, and I joined the artillery.
By the time you entered the conflict, by the time you went into D-Day, did you feel completely prepared, or was there some elements of your training?
We were prepared, fully prepared. We spent the 3rd Canadian Infantry Division was the one division that was being prepared for a few years for the D-Day invasion, in addition to how to shoot guns and a few things like that.
I had, for my deployment to Afghanistan, I had a year and a half pre-deployment training. But during that time, I only had 2 days of mental health training, talking about the effects combat could have on your psyche. Was there any training like that at all for you?
Any what?
Mental health training, talking about shell shock and how combat can affect you.
It didn't exist in those days. They didn't exist. Cowardice in the First World War, you got shot if you were a coward. And if you had a mental problem, that was cowardice, and so they shot you. But in the Second World War, they sent you back to England. We called it channelitis. I want to go back across the channel. I'm damn scared. And we sent a number of people who were, call it shell-shocked, if you like. They were sent back to England and given desk jobs or something.
What is going through your mind when you've trained for so long and then you're going to take part in this momentous occasion? What's going through your mind on the boat?
Well, we played, most of the boys played poker. I played Red Dog for most of the night. I made a lot of money. One time I made a lot of money at poker. And at 6 o'clock, we were told, hey, it's time to get ready. Shortly thereafter that I looked out and saw more ships than I ever thought existed. It seemed one could walk back across the channel, hopping from vessel to vessel, just like low water on a salmon stream. I saw floating tanks, many which capsized in the rough seas. There were tiers of rockets going swish, swish, swish from rocket-firing barges. We'd never seen them before. When you heard a chug, 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 you found it to be the noise of a battleship, a shell from a battleship so far to the rear that you could not see it. And something different was happening everywhere, and it all had a bang. And I can remember looking at the seawall. And under the seawall, there were many German prisoners, dead, wounded personnel. And there was no time to be afraid. It was all a new novelty. Furthermore, on the way in, our landing craft in 6 feet of water hit a mine and sank. The front ramp was blown off. There were 6 vehicles on board. The first vehicle off was an infantry Bren gun carrier of the Queen's Own Rifles Regiment that we were supporting, a liaison group. And the Bren gun carrier got about 20, 25 feet off the landing craft. It hit a mine, went as high as this room out of the water. Nobody got out of that. And I can remember, I'm in the turret of a Sherman tank, at the command tank at the time, and at the next vehicle to go off. And I can remember turning to a chap next to me and saying, you know, a fellow could get killed around here. I mean, was I scared? Well, no, it was all new. And not only that, it was always the other guy that was going to get killed, never me.
I can relate to that a lot. When we go overseas and when I first saw combat, it was more like a Zen experience of, I was almost relieved because finally this is happening. We've been preparing for this for so long, and now I can finally face this test and see how I come out, how I perform. And in combat, that the closeness of the bullets, the seeing the destruction, it was not as shocking as I was expecting because we had trained so much for it. What did shock me was the little things that I wasn't expecting. We don't train so much for the smells of combat, the sounds of combat. We hear the bullets, we hear the concussion, but we don't hear the crying, we don't smell the burning. Was there anything about combat for you that you found you were not expecting?
I would say I wasn't expecting that many mines.
So what does Remembrance Day mean for you at this point?
Well, I think it's very important.
One of my favorite Canadian artists is Colville, and one of his more famous paintings is this woman putting in a bag of groceries into a French Renault car. And the other person, the main person in this painting, is glancing up and noticing the memorial, the cenotaph. And to me, that speaks a lot about how I feel about Remembrance Day, when I can see people almost dismissing it. And I feel, just from when I grew up, the importance of Remembrance Day, that there's been a waning kind of respect and recognition of the real cost and sacrifice of war. And Canada had 10% of its people fight. Oh, yeah. And it seems like we're forgetting that, and I can feel that. So when I see the poppy, that's what I recognize, that person recognizes that cause. What do you see when you see the poppy?
Well, there are a lot of people around here, or a lot of people that I see without poppies who know nothing about war and are quite complacent.
Does it leave you with concern?
No, I'm sad that some people have been more interested in life with other ventures than paying homage to those that didn't make it, and those who were responsible for those people living in peace.
I know for me, when I think of Remembrance Day and I think of the poppy, I think back to the people we lost. I see faces. That to me is the symbol of the poppy, right? It's the these faces, these people that did lose their lives, the brothers and sisters, the daughters and fathers. Has that stayed with you?
Oh yes, very definitely. I was for many years I was president of my regimental association, which 2 years ago had to disband because now I'm the only one left that maybe a couple in bed, but I don't think there are any others walking around other than myself from my regiment. But I have had a history of being in contact with these veterans from my regiment over the years, in recent years, firsthand contact. And I remember so many of them. And of course, I remember those that were killed on D-Day, and I can see their faces. It's a sad experience.
Uncle Stewart, a 95-year-old veteran who lives on the South Shore. He's from the World War II veteran, I should say. And Eve LeDuc Butterworth, who interviewed him, was 31 and currently serving. And thanks to Zach Kamel for putting that together for Daybreak.